It was in the late 1970s when Jon Kabat-Zinn, a doctor at the University of Massachusetts Medical School, first began integrating the Buddhist philosophy of mindfulness with Western medicine. In his stress reduction clinic at the University of Massachusetts Medical School, he began developing mindfulness-based stress reduction, MBSR, which has been shown to help people cope with stress, anxiety, and pain. Some of the programs at the newly opened Center for Mindful Living on Macaulay Avenue are based on Dr. Kabat-Zinn's MBSR practice. But according to Julie L. Brown, vice president of the board at the Center for Mindful Living is unlike any other center of its kind in the country.
I think most centers have a main teacher, and they are focused on a certain type of teaching. And at the Center for Mindful Living, we don't operate that way. We have a board. We run like a company, like a nonprofit organization. We have a board, and we have lots of wonderful volunteers. But we have a variety of teachers that come from all kinds of different perspectives. So there's not one way of teaching mindfulness. And that what we want to just not have these teachings. We want to have opportunities for practicing, because you can learn about something, but does it fit in your life? Does this make sense with your schedule, with your family, with your work? Is it practical? We see our educational offerings as sort of a menu, just like when you go to a restaurant and you can look at all this variety and you can make some selections based on what you desire at the moment. And that's something that we hope to be able to do. And at our open house on Sunday, from 3 to 5, we're going to have coupons for people to come in and do free practices. So not even being a member, being able to come in, experience a practice, or have your own time in the garden or the meditation contemplation space, and so that you can experience this and see how it does fit and what your preference might be.
Julie Brown is a practicing psychotherapist. She specializes in helping people cope with trauma. She was drawn to the practice of mindfulness, she said, because the approach she'd been taking to cope with the stress she felt from juggling her professional and her personal lives wasn't working for her.
As a psychotherapist, I'm committed to be in therapy forever. Never trust a therapist who's not in therapy. So if I do this work, then I have to do my work. And so part of this was a personal journey of finding a way to embrace who I am. And yet, you talked before about the ruts, that we have these habitual patterns that are like ruts in the road. What mindfulness allowed me to do is to make some shifts in those. Because what I found is what I had done before was very linear. When I tried to change behaviors, I did it in the typical linear American way of be harsh. Like we watch some of these reality television programs with weight loss, very harsh. And yet, you know, what we really need to look at is how can we be more compassionate to ourselves? So when I learned this way of being more open and being more compassionate to myself, then it opened me up to do this in a way where I could make some shifts. And when I don't make the shift, when I do get to that stressed out place and jump right back into that old rut in the road, I have the openness now. I can see I have an option. I don't have to go into a berating self-talk that really gets me back in the habit. And that what I've really found is that practice was wonderful, but what really made a difference for me was practicing with others. It is wonderful to have my quiet time or read or journal or sit in a garden at my home, but there is something really wonderful about having a community to do that with. So I started really in trying to find places in the community to have these conversations. And I attended lots of trainings, and I have to for my work, but I started really going more toward mindfulness trainings because we're really finding that it really can be exponential. And mental issues, physical issues, relationship issues, and so that it answers so many of the questions. So for me, it was an evolution of a personal journey, and it really was something that didn't just benefit me personally, but allowed me to connect with a different, in a different way to the community.
It seems to me that there's something of a paradox in mindfulness, in as much as you are in the moment, but at the same time, you've got this kind of meta consciousness that is, you know, looking at what you're doing all the time, right?
Yes.
And so that's I think why it works, right? Because it's essentially saying don't react, respond.
Mm-hmm.
It's a considered response rather than an automatic emotional venting, you know.
I like how you said that. Because one of the things that attracts me most to mindfulness is the commitment to nonviolence. We don't realize how violent we are to ourselves in our thoughts and to others. We notice it when we have road rage and we scream, but a lot of times it's just the thought that we have, and it can really help us spin out and not be present. And what I love about mindfulness, it is not a journey toward perfection of mindfulness. it is a practice. There's no end goal of saying, and this is it. I am the, you know, there's not an expert in mindfulness that I see. I see a lot of wonderful teachers that I get so much from, and that it allows me to be me. But mindfulness allows me to bring more of me into something. So if I'm really, really reactive, then I'm in that habitual pattern. I'm really playing out a response I never felt great about, and I'm just repeating it. But it allows me to unfold more into myself and to bring out more nuances. And I think that's part of what we do as we, you know, go through the journey of life. But it is, in a community, what's wonderful is that when I am going through a time where I feel like I'm really not in my practice, I don't have a community that is judging me. Because from a mindfulness standpoint, that's not what we're about. I have a community that really supports me and that encourages me and that acknowledges me for where I am. Instead of seeing me as a problem and that I need to be fixed and that we need to get Julie back on the path of mindfulness. Because I am from a different, more structured background in that way.
Lisa Harrison is the president of the board of the Center for Mindfulness. Her response to the idea that mindfulness may be equated with watchfulness, I think, illustrates the individuality at the core of the practice. While Julie Brown agreed with that idea and found it helped, for Lisa, who's practiced mindfulness for a quarter century, it's not nearly such a conscious practice.
And I think you said, you know, something about the observer, then we're always observing. I'm not sure that that's really true. I think we can develop our observer, but then when we actually move into that new place, then the observer can be quiet and we can be more present. Because if we get into the observer all the time, then also we're maybe not being mindful.
Because you can, exactly.
Yeah, because you're super self-conscious then. So.
Yeah. It one militates against the other. But I guess if you, and I guess you can best address that from your own experience, there comes a point where you integrate the observer, where it's not a conscious act anymore. It's just something that you do. Because everything that you do, you're aware of what you're doing on some level. Right.
I think for me personally, it was about developing, or maybe that was more of a natural part of my personality, to be reflective. I'm a reflective thinker. I spend time in reflection. So that's really important to me. I'm less of a doer. I think our culture is really doing-oriented. And just for me personally, I have always been very being-oriented. So wholeness for me actually might include a little more of the doing. But I think our culture in general is a lot more push, grow, bottom line. And so these practices are really important for our culture. But I think it's also very individual because just like Julie was talking about being harsh with herself, or clients who, a lot of people are really harsh, they have that real strong inner critic. There are also people who don't really push themselves, who don't challenge themselves. So that reflection, it's not a one formula for each person. It really is for you to discover what is your default pattern and to know when you're in that, and then to make another choice about it. You know, giving you some options. So,
the Center for Mindful Living is at 1212 Macaulay Avenue. The center's open house is this Sunday afternoon from 3 until 5. More information about the center, their programs, and their classes is on their website, centermindfulliving.com. mindfulliving.org, centermindfulliving.org. For WUTC's Around and About, I'm Richard Winham.